Let's check in with the former Ute and current Miami Dolphin offensive lineman. He's Isaac Asiata. Good enough to join us here on the show. Isaac, man, how are you? Welcome in.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
How are things, man? Sounds like you're trying to get some rest after a pretty tough game for you last night.
Yeah. It's been a long day. We had meetings and stuff this morning, but it was a fun game last night.
You were able to get into the action towards the end of the first half, Isaac. There were also, I got to ask, is your hip okay? You were seen on the training table getting looked at.
Yeah, I'm fine. I mean, you guys know as well as me that when you go in at halftime, if you sit on the chair during halftime in the locker room and then try to come out, you get kind of stiff. So I was just having the trainer stretch me out. So
I have no idea what you're talking about, Isaac. I mean, stiffness in the hip as a punter, it doesn't exist. Maybe Carl Gunther knows a little more about that.
Well, have you had to adjust your warm-up routine at all, Isaac, now with maybe more breaks, TV timeouts, and then sort of not knowing when you're going to get in the game?
It's a different adjustment that, you know, I had to make because I've been so used to, you know, starting and playing all four quarters and not really coming out. You know what I mean? And now with me, you know, kind of in the backup swing position and with preseason, they have the starters out for, you know, a quarter or so. And then they send me in after, you know, you got to try to stay loose, got to try to stay warm and ready. And, you know, I got so used to, you know, warm ups with Coach Doug, at Utah that, you know, I was on a regular routine and, you know, everything was, you know, mapped out the way that I'd liked it. And kind of organized for me. But now, you know, I got to figure out what I need to do for myself to stay loose and to stay warm. So it's different for sure.
Walk us through, I mean, you guys didn't play as well as I'm sure you were hoping. You end up getting belted by the Ravens 31-7, but you did score a touchdown. And Isaac, you did have something to do with the touchdown. Walk us through the block that led to the touchdown for the Dolphins.
It was just outside zone play, and it's different than at Utah. You know, kind of how we run outside zone at Utah is obviously if you can reach the front side, and at Utah, you know, if we got the front side reached and sealed off, then our running back Joe or Devontae back then would try to hit the sideline and go, you know, north with. With here, you know, it's kind of cut back lanes and in the league it's different and they're not really trying. They're trying to stretch out the defense and then cut it back underneath. And so for me, you know, I was taught, I'm getting taught now and trying to get used to now that strategy of stretching guys out and not necessarily reaching the cutoff. But reaching to run them past and letting and you know using the running back to make the cuts, if that makes sense. So for me, I was just trying to stretch my guy out and stay attached to him so that the running back can do his job and make a good cut. And good for us, the Perry was able to do that last night and get a touchdown. So.
Reach blocks are incredibly tough because typically a defensive lineman is going to be lined up outside you, and then you have to try to loop yourself around him and prevent him from going that same direction where he's already got at least a half a man's advantage of you there. But what would you say is the big difference, if any, Isaac, in the expectations of the types of blocks? Like, I'm sure at Utah, like you mentioned, everyone's trying to reach front side, but in the NFL, do you feel like the expectations are greater, or is there more variables in the NFL?
I think there's more variables. I feel like it was easier. I mean, it's not easy, period, at any level, especially, you know, when you're there. You know, in college, you know, a guy could be removed from you, but, you know, factors play in if he's tired or if he's a slower guy or you know the snap count obviously works in the favor for the offense, but you know here you know the guys that you go against aren't a joke. You know they could be head up on you and you still wouldn't be able to cut them off, you know what I mean? So you know that plays into effect of the level of talent here, and you have to be able to match that. And you know, what comes into play is just your effort to finish. And you know, you might not completely reach him, but you know, if you can keep him occupied and not let him fall off late, you know, you can still keep your guy out of the play. So
Jay Cutler's been there for about a week now, maybe just longer than a week. How have you seen him integrate himself within the team and his leadership? What does he do on and off the field that you've noticed?
Yeah, I mean, it seemed like a seamless transition for him to come in, and with everything that's going on with Ryan and you know, how that played out. But it's, you know, the guys get along with him well. You know, he's a good guy. I've talked to him a couple of times, and there wasn't much of a, you know what I mean, difference, I guess. You know, just a different quarterback who has a different style of play and cadence and you know, how he runs things, his presence. And but, you know, overall, it was a seamless trend, you know, it was a seamless transition.
Former Ute and current Miami Dolphin Isaac Asiata on with us on ESPN 700. The University of Utah named their team captains yesterday. It feels like you were a captain about three straight years, Isaac. I know you were a big leader on that team, but you know, were you surprised to see Troy Williams was named a captain at Utah as a quarterback, but still is not technically named the starter? Are you surprised to hear Utah say that there's a three-man quarterback battle still at quarterback?
No, I'm not surprised at all, because there's some serious talent at Utah at quarterback right now, with, you know, especially between the two guys who have kind of been there with Tyler Huntley and Troy Williams, and the way that they're trying to run the offense through Troy Taylor. You know, it's not surprising that they don't know yet. Now, I know that it might, you know, seem like it's a three-way battle, but, you know, I don't think people should necessarily be panicked, because the coaches kind of do already have the feel. I mean, I haven't talked to them, but, you know, you can obviously assume that they wouldn't, you know, be this close to the game, however far out they are, and not, you know, necessarily have a feel for who it is. I think what they're trying to do is just keep the competition alive. And, you know, when there's only one spot, and if you pick somebody and the competition's still close, you know, the competition kind of dies out, if that makes sense. But if you got guys who are neck to neck, you know, this guy does good these days or whatever, you know, I think that it would kill the competition. So I like the fact that it's a however way tie between so many talented quarterbacks. Even though Troy was named captain. So, you know, that, you know, goes to show how great of a quarterback Tyler Huntley can be. And I don't even know who the other guy is. Is it
Cooper Bateman?
Cooper Bateman. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, anybody else's guess is as good as mine. And, you know, I know that they picked Troy because he's a damn good leader, and I, you know, respect him as such, and he did a great job for us last year. So, you know, I kind of expected it to be him. And just because he's not a starter, or if he is a starter or whatever, doesn't mean anything necessarily. You know, guys will follow who they want to follow.
Still question marks on the offensive line, Isaac. We've heard news that Jackson Barton has solidified himself at left tackle, but from there on out, I mean, Lofalamaka is still out injured. We're hoping to hear news in regards to when he can come back shortly. Johnny Capra and Paul Tawala taking reps at center. Jordan Agassiva is traditionally a guard, and then Leke Uatafe is also a guard, but they haven't said he's going to be the guard or a tackle. I mean, where do you see these players? Darren Polo is also a name that has been talked about at right tackle. If I were to ask you, kind of take me through what you anticipate to be the starting five for the Utes this season, who would they be?
You know, for me, like you said, I do believe Jackson is their best tackle, you know, true tackle as of now. And to put him on the left side is where I believe he belongs. I think Darren could and he should be a guard. Same with Leke. I mean, Leke is a true guard, but like we talked about last time, he's quick enough and has the footwork to be able to play on the outside. Now, I know that if they had a tackle to play there that was a solid enough one, that they would leave Luka at guard, but, you know, if they bump Luka out to tackle, you know, we have Jordan who can play guard, and we have, you know, a bunch of other guys, especially in the interior. If Lowe's able to come back, I'm sure they could bump out Paul or whoever else they have. But it's good that, you know, Johnny Capra, who's a young guy who's been, you know, around for a little while, and I know that the kind of guy that Johnny is, as well as Paul Tuala, who will be able to play some center snaps, you know. So, you know, for me, there's a lot, you know, with the amount of guys who left this last draft class, you know, I could see why people would be worried or, you know, have question marks about the O-line. But, you know, the kind of coach that they have in Jim Harding, a lot of people forget that this situation that's going on right now with trying to fill roles is the exact same position that he was in, Coach Harding was in, when he came in, you know, 3 years ago, when me, JJ, Sam, you know, Garrett wasn't there yet, but Leka too, and Hevo, we were all young guys and could play something. I was playing tackle at the time. Me and JJ were battling for a tackle spot. Sam had just barely got switched over, you know. So people forget about that situation, and then fast forward 3 years, and, you know, four of us got drafted. And they have, in my opinion, the best offensive line coach in the Pac-12, if not in the whole country, who can do, you know, the best with what he's got. And the guys that he has, I know that he'll do his job and get those guys ready so that when the first game comes, you know, whoever is in there, people should have faith that they're in the position. They're playing along the five starters, you know, whoever it might be, for a reason, and to trust Coach Harding wouldn't put them in there if they weren't able to perform that way. So
you mentioned playing multiple positions there, having played tackle early on in your career, Isaac. What was the biggest challenge for you changing from tackle to guard and going back and forth?
People don't really know, but me and JJ, you know, now we're best friends. Like, you know, I consider JJ one of my closest friends and, you know, a true brother to me. But back when me and JJ, when they moved Ciosi to center, me and JJ didn't really get along, and I hated him because we were fighting for the tackle spot. It was going to be me or him. And then when spring ball was over, I bumped down into guard and played guard next to JJ. And then, you know, he made my job easier because people, you know, I talk about it all the time, and people don't really understand that, you know, you do have to have that chemistry, that continuity within the five guys. But your guard and tackle combination, they have to be able to work together, you know, the way that me and JJ used to, and then the way that me and Garrett were able to work last year. And, you know, the hardest part for me was, you know, I feel that tackle, you still got to play physical on the line, but you don't do as much heavy lifting as the guards do. You deal with more of the fast guys who aren't really physical, and then on the interior, you deal with the big guys who are, they might be slower, but it's a lot more physical, if that makes sense. So, you know, the transition there was kind of big, but I was glad that I was able to do that because it set me up for here in the league where now I've practiced a lot of center reps. You know, I played both guard positions sometimes in the same game. So it worked out in my favor.
Here locally in Salt Lake City, Isaac, you know, we've heard a bunch about Garrett Bowles. We talk to you once a week, and we haven't quite heard nearly as much about, you know, JJ and Sam. I know you were good friends with both of them. Have you been able to speak to them over the past couple of weeks and talk about what training camp's like for those guys?
Yeah, I mean, I know that, you know, JJ is in Cincy, and with Sam in San Diego, that they're just kind of, you know, grinding through their first training camp, and, you know, the depth charts there are pretty deep. But, you know, from what I have talked to them about, you know, I know that whatever cards they're dealt, that they're going to maximize whatever role that they have to the best of their abilities and maximize what, you know, job they have and be the best at whatever it is that they get slotted. Now, I know that if it's not a starting spot, that they'll eventually work their way up that way. But, you know, from what I've talked to them, things are going well. I'll have to ask me next time I come on, and I'll give you a better answer.
Well, so what are your goals now the rest of the week? How do you recover? How do you get yourself set now? How do you move on from last week's or, you know, last night's preseason game? And what's on the horizon for the next couple of days for you, Isaac?
Yeah, I mean, in the league, I mean, in college, I felt like it was more of a, you know, there wasn't much emphasis. I mean, there was a big recovery emphasis in a sense, but not as big as it is in the NFL. Guys will spend thousands of dollars on recovery, ways to get recovery, and massages and, you know, acupuncture, cryotherapy, Normatex, their own personal Normatex. And, you know, that's something that I've seen different is how fast can you recover, because it's such a long season. There's so many games, especially if you play throughout the preseason. You know, if I, you know, I'm not saying anything, but if I was to play and start the whole season, all 16 games, including preseason, you know, that's 20 games plus however many in the playoffs, if we went to the playoffs and so forth. So, you know, that's almost 7-8 more games than a college season, if that makes sense. So, you know, the emphasis here is how quick can you recover? How quick can you get your body to, you know, be ready for the turnaround and get ready for the next day? Now, you know, we have tomorrow off, and then on Sunday we fly out to Philly to practice with the Eagles, and then we play them next Thursday. So for me, just a whole lot of recovery, a whole lot of spending time with my wife, and that's about it. So
enjoy the downtime, Isaac. It's a busy season that you're about to embark on, the longest football season you would have ever embarked on. So best of luck, you know, spending time with your wife. Tell her I say hi. The Dolphins and Eagles obviously play against one another Thursday. It's also worth noting that I know you are a big Chip Cookie fan. They're now up in Salt Lake. So next time you go see the Utes and the football facility, you can drop by and grab yourself some cookies as well, Isaac.
There we go.
Cookie monster.
All right, Isaac, we appreciate you. Isaac Asiata, former Ute, current NFL offensive lineman.